Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for taking some time out in your lovely weekend to listen to me speak and listen to the information in this podcast. I'm always very appreciative. This week, I am going to be continuing on the path of scrying. We reviewed a couple of other types of scrying a little while back. Today, it's going to be all about oil scrying and also about smoke scrying. Scrying was first mentioned in the 10th century in an ancient Persian text called the Shahnameh. Later, as Christianity began to rise to power, scrying was outlawed and it was called the work of the devil. However, almost every culture on this planet has used some form of scrying, from first people's observation of smoke to the Egyptians' use of oil gazing to gain wisdom, messages, and understanding. So from the Babylonians, oil scrying, because the Babylonians were known to really use this form of divination, it found its way to the Egyptians and then to the Hebrews. And the most detailed examples of oil scrying, they can be found in the Greek magical papyri. This was written, I believe, between 200 BC and AD 500. You can actually pick up a copy of this, which I personally have. I've perused the Greek magical papyri because I was really interested in all of these ancient rituals that were performed by the Greeks, which were heavily influenced by the Egyptians, as you'll see a marriage of their belief systems in this book. So if you're interested, it's lengthy, but it's very detailed descriptions of the ritual, all various types of rituals that you can think under the sun, they're in there. Very interesting recipes. And I definitely don't recommend all of them, but if you want to learn about oil scrying a little bit more, then please check it out. Now, I know I've said this before, but I think it's important to revisit what scrying is since we've been talking about it. So scrying is the deliberate act of perceiving events that lie beyond the range of physical senses by using essentially the agents of the unconscious mind. In scrying, we see only with the mind. However, the mind needs some way to convey the information to our own conscious awareness. So it must take the information that we gain during a scrying session, and it has to translate that information into terms that we can understand. It does this by turning that data into some form of an impression, usually in the form of a vision, an image. Sometimes, you know, we have physical impressions as well, in terms of a sense, a feeling sensation in the body, what have you, or sound. But majority of the time, it's a physical or a visual impression, I'll say that. This is also what occurs, with oil scrying. And we're going to talk about this technique that was used by the Babylonians and by the Egyptians. So I'm going to get a little bit specific here. However, I do want to say at the outset, as I studied and researched this, apparently children were used, specifically little boys were used with this technique. I know we don't necessarily advocate or support that young children participate in these types of rituals to get information about the future or to answer questions. Maybe some people do. But a lot of people don't. However, just an FYI here, that the ancient Egyptians and Babylonians did utilize young children, specifically boys, with oil scrying. There are three techniques that I'm going to review with you here that are mentioned in the Greek magical papyri and elsewhere. They're relatively short, but this kind of gives you a window into how the magicians performed magic, or at least utilized this type of divination to connect with the spirits and get information. So the first technique is called the Princess of the Thumb. And with this technique, the Magus anointed his scryer, which is usually a pre-adolescent boy. He would anoint him with olive oil on his forehead and then on the thumbnail. The shiny nail, it became a magic mirror. And it's within this so-called magic mirror in which the scryer saw the spirits. So that is actually one technique. There are quite a few more details that you can find in a Hebrew magical text that talks about this a little bit further, but this was a technique that was apparently commonly used. What I found interesting here was the anointing of the child with olive oil. I'm not sure how many of you were raised Christian or have attended variety of Christian denominations and churches, especially in the South, but anointing somebody with olive oil is incredibly common, not necessarily for divination or for scrying, but for prayer purposes. That's probably the best way I can put that. I can't tell you how many times I've had oily crosses on my head growing up as a child, so it was very interesting to read that. Okay, we're gonna move to the next technique, which is called the Princes of the Hand technique. So with this technique, oil was mixed with black soot to make a black paste that was then smeared upon the little child's hand. So the scryer would then use that hand as a mirror in an attempt to scry future events. So again, for both techniques, there are two young boys in particular. I find this very interesting that the hand with the oil and black soot would become almost very similar to a black mirror. If you've ever done any kind of black mirror scrying, which I am, maybe we'll talk about in the near future, if we move on to mirror scrying, definitely a very old method utilized by many sorcerers, magicians, witches, what have you, to connect with spirits and to kind of gauge what's going to happen in the future. All right, let's move on to the third type of oil scrying, which is called the Princes of the Cup. So with this technique, sesame seed oil, it was used to coat the inside of a cup that was rested on its side. The cup was used as a concave magic mirror to capture and magnify the light of a candle that was fixed on its inner rim. So again, through that so-called magic mirror, that shiny surface, it should be able to capture images. Usually with elaborate rituals in ancient history, we find that there is a lot of cleansing that has to happen prior to performing any form of divination, whether it's cleansing of the magician or any of the other participants. Sometimes they have to go through these huge rituals to be able to connect to spirit. However, I didn't find anything when it comes to the children. I did find it associated with the magician, but it's very curious to me that nothing is really documented, or at least we don't have historical records about how the child was prepared to be this participant, because I can't think of the appropriate word, that would be able to connect the magician to spirit. All right. So oil scrying, extremely popular from Babylon to Egypt. There are minor details that change from one technique to the next. Several kinds of oils were used, including sesame oil, olive oil, palm oil, oasis oil, and even herb oil. And sometimes the bowls, when they were used for scrying, they changed as well. Sometimes the magicians would use copper for the bowl, or even bronze. We do get some insight into how the magicians prepared themselves by looking at a letter from the magician Nefertiti to the king of Egypt, Psammetichos. So in this letter, Nefertiti describes oil scrying in quite a bit of detail. However, in this letter, he says that for whatever it is he's trying to do, he needs four different types of water that need to be mixed with oil. He says, if one were to call upon the services of the heavenly gods or the gods of the planetary spheres, you have to use rainwater. But if one were to invoke the terrestrial gods, they had to use seawater. If one were to invoke the great gods Osiris or Serapis, you have to use river water. If you wanted to call upon the souls of the dead, then you have to use spring water. In preparation for the ritual, the magician had to prepare himself and remain pure for 7 days. In his letter, this magician said that those that are seeking to scry in a bowl, the magician had to attach themselves to Helios, or the sun. He said that it was necessary to go to the highest part of your house at sunrise on the 3rd day of the month, or the 3rd day of the lunar cycle, lie down, and then make sure that you are oriented towards the east. At that point, you have to recite this very long prayer to one of the gods that you plan to contact during scrying. There is a letter that specifies a magician wanting to connect very deeply with Anubis. It's very elaborate. I'm not going to read it here, but apparently this was very common practice during, I would say, the height of Egyptian civilization. There are many variations when it comes to addressing different gods during oil scrying. I also would recommend that you refer to the Greek magical papyrus. If you're interested in learning more, there are so many rituals that are specific to Aphrodite, Isis, a lot to Isis, to a lot of the Greek pantheon, and to the Egyptian as well. Scryers, they were tested before they were employed by an Egyptian magician. And here I am referring specifically to adult scryers because there were. However, it was common practice for children, so I don't know whether or not they tested children in advance or how they went about selecting the children. I'm going to review with you exactly how scryers were tested to be employed by Egyptian magicians. So, number one, when they were in the presence of the magician during their test, the magician would speak the formula of Horus 7 times, and it's known as the formula of Horus. He would say, noble ibis, falcon, hawk, noble and mighty, let me be purified in the manner of the noble ibis, falcon, hawk, noble and mighty. The magician would then wait for the scryer to hear a sound in their ears. If they heard a voice, then they were considered a candidate for scrying. If they heard only with their right ear, then they were suitable. However, if they heard in the left ear, they were rejected. The left side was considered to be the sinister side. It was traditionally regarded as the side of evil. Whether it's evil spirits, so-called dark entities are the ones who spoke to someone through the left ear. So that's exactly how the Egyptian magicians would test their potential scryers. But again, it would be so interesting to get the information as to whether or not they tested the children. And I imagine they probably did, given that they really utilized young boys for oil scrying, and that was the most popular type in Egypt. Okay, that's all I have for oil scrying. There's Egyptian oil lamp scrying, which is extremely elaborate, that I'll consider covering in the weeks to come. But if you are interested in trying this technique, I suggest, you try one of these three princesses techniques. If that speaks to you, there are so many different forms of divination, and one always clicks naturally as opposed to the others. And it's really interesting to dig in the archives to see how all of these ancient cultures, ancient civilizations, connected with spirit. Now we're gonna look at one more type of scrying, which is called smoke scrying. we're going to move on to smokes crying. And smokes crying is just another way or another method of divination. This method in particular, it was commonly used and is still commonly used by shamans to receive messages from the spirit world. Native Americans or First Peoples, they practice a special type of smoke scrying during various ceremonies, but also in sweat lodges. I live in the American Southwest and there are a number of sweat lodges here. I have never been to one. I think the heat would literally kill me. However, I have known people who've done this practice and it really helps them in whatever it is that they're seeking. If you are, if you don't know about sweat lodges, I'll give you as much information as I can today, but just to be perfectly upfront, I have not had this personal experiences, so all of this is based off of research. Sweat lodges, they're heated dome-shaped structures used by indigenous peoples during certain purification rites. Each sweat lodge is slightly different depending on the community or the person who operates it and the purpose for which it's used. For example, some sweat lodges or some sweat lodge ceremonies, they're restricted to men or women or even children or members of certain tribes. At other times, the lodge might be open to all people. There are also sweats that are specific to fasting rituals or celebrations of some sort of cultural tradition. Despite these differences, there are important commonalities among sweat lodge ceremonies. Most importantly, the sweat lodge, it's a sacred place. It is likened to the womb of Mother Earth. Sweats are deeply spiritual and cultural experiences for many people. And for this reason, sweat lodges, they're run by special operators. Sometimes they're called keepers, and oftentimes an elder or a healer, they are run by these people in particular. And the elder or healer, they are very well versed in these traditional healing and sweat lodge practices. So in the sweat lodge, water is poured over hot rocks in this tent to create steam. The steam is inhaled by those who sit around the rocks. The combination of the temperatures, the humidity, and the elevated levels of carbon dioxide, yes, produce a state in which visions can arise. This form of scrying, obviously, it can be dangerous, and it should only be undertaken by experienced people. However, outside of the sweat lodge, smoke scrying, it can be done just while seated around a campfire, and supposedly messages, you know, fill the air around the smoke. Smoke scrying, it's a form of divination in which you just burn something to capture messages, to connect to spirit, to capture messages. You can burn herbs, plants, commonly burned, such as sage. This is commonly used during a smoke scrying session. Smoke scrying can be tricky. It can be really difficult to get the hang of. If you really find this is something you want to do, take your time and don't get frustrated. You'll need many sessions before you can see and understand the messages that come through. Usually, the impressions that you get are more symbolic as opposed to very clear-cut messages. As we all know, symbols are the language of the universe, and it's our job to decipher them. It's like playing charades. If you want to practice smoke scrying, you can utilize incense, burning any kind of herbs at your own will, whatever you desire to burn. In order to do this, you will need to find a really nice ventilated area. Perhaps you should crack a window if you're going to do this indoors. And you're going to want an appropriate container to use as your vessel for burning. So if this is a practice that you'd want to try, what I would recommend is that you find whatever area in your house or outside on a deck, balcony, or what have you. make sure you have your instruments. If you're going to burn sage, pine, some form of incense, then make sure that you have your tools ready to go. You ground yourself, you protect yourself, you set your intention. And think of the question that you have for spirit. You can direct it towards a specific deity. You can direct it towards nature in any form. You can direct it towards the creator. You can direct it towards your angels, guides, whomever you have a question for. Just make sure that you are clear-headed and you know what it is that you are seeking. And then you can begin to light, whether it's your incense, you can light your, I'm just thinking sage because that's what I burn quite a bit. You can light any other herbs that you have around you. And just make sure that you're relaxed. You can close your eyes for a little bit if that's your preference. And after your smoke's been going for a little while, just sit back and gaze into the smoke. You may see something, you may not see anything. You can look around, all of these clouds of dust around the smoke as well to see if you see any shapes taking place, any forms, any, potential symbols, even animals, sometimes faces, words can come through the smoke. Take your time. Don't get frustrated. And don't think that you have to just stare at one spot the whole time. Change it up and look all around the smoke. And if you don't feel like you're getting anything, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and then look again. Also, don't forget to take into account the direction of the smoke, the color of the smoke. There are always messages in that as well. Perhaps if the smoke starts to move a little bit towards the left, perhaps it has something to do with the past or maybe going in one direction. Perhaps if the smoke moves towards the right, maybe it has to do with the future as well. Just make sure that when you're finished, of course, clean up your area, but also document anything that you got. Now, if you didn't get anything, it's okay. It's all about practice until, you do see something. It could take a long time and perhaps it's not your thing. The other thing to take into consideration here is that perhaps you want to burn something else. Maybe you tried, I'm just thinking cedar, and didn't connect to that. Perhaps then you burn incense, I don't know, lavender. God, I'm trying to think of everything that I know. You burn something else. And perhaps there's more of an attraction to that. And maybe you'll see through that type of smoke. Maybe, for some you're like, well, why should it matter? Well, your energy connects with different types of plants. So for example, when I'm clearing my energy, I find that cedar, pine, and sage work the best for me because I can actually feel it as opposed to other, like Palo Santo. As much as I love it, I don't feel the energy of Palo Santo. So I would probably want to sit down and burn maybe some cedar if I were going to try utilizing this divination method. If you want to do it, stick with it. Know that it takes some time to develop and practice, practice, practice. If this is something that you want to learn how to do and connecting with spirit. And all of these methods that I'm teaching you or that I'm reviewing with you, they are just different ways of connecting with the energy of, if you want to call it the all, the creator, whatever name you want to give it. There are many ways to tap in and work with nature, working using various types of tools of divination. It's really up to you, but it's also very personally interesting for me to kind of dig into history to see how other groups of people have worked, found a way essentially to connect to spirit. You guys, I hope that this has been very helpful and very interesting for you today. Please have a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.